right. Look over the songs in the maybe in the back. There are some. Well, they're all for children. Yeah, they're all for children. Now, who has a selection? Yeah.
88.
88. All right. Oh, that's a nice one.
There once was a wild little donkey. He had to be tied to a tree. And Jesus was thinking about him. He said, "Go and bring him to me." And when they had brought him to Jesus,
whatever he wants you to be. And so we have this expression here. It starts here. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Well, that's a big word there. I wonder what it means. Take my life. What you have right now, only one life. You know, your life is like a coin. You have a toonie or a loonie. You can spend it, but only spend it once. You can't spend it twice. Once you spent it, it's gone. So our lives, boys and girls, are like that. We can spend them, we can't get them back. The rest of our time, how long it is, we don't know. It may be short, may be long if the Lord doesn't come. But this should be our prayer. Take my life. That's what the Lord has given to you. It really belongs to the Lord. We're going to talk a little later about a man who had something that didn't belong to him. And you know, our lives really belong to the Lord, but sometimes we use them as if they were our own. And we don't care. But look at what it says. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. That's a big word, consecrated. What does that mean? We don't want to use a word we don't understand. Consecrated, Lord, to thee. Well, consecrated means someone puts something into your hand. The Lord puts something into our hands, but who are we going to use it for? It could be money. It could be ability to speak. It could be energy. Young people have lots of energy. But sometimes we use those things for ourselves and not for the Lord. So, where it says consecrated Lord to thee means that what the Lord has given to us, let us put it into his hands. People are coming in here. Wait till everyone gets in. And that might be where we fail. Before we were saved, this car belongs to me. This bicycle belongs to me. I'm not going to use it for anything else but my own pleasure. This, whatever it is, this house, it belongs to me. And I'm going to use it the way I want. That's the way people of the world talk. And that's the way we talked before we were brought to Christ. Do what I want with what I have. But now that you are saved, and I think quite a few of the boys and girls that I'm speaking to here are saved, and they have something to consecrate to the Lord. You know, Josiah was only 8 years of age when he began to reign. That's not very old. 8 years of age when he began to reign over Israel. Just a boy. But he consecrated his life to the Lord. And the Lord used Josiah in a wonderful way. You can read it in the Kings. You can read about it. Your parents can find the place, and you can read about Josiah. And he was consecrating his life to the Lord. He had some problems. And because you give everything to the Lord doesn't mean you're going to have a rosy life. Everything is just going to be the way you want it. No. God doesn't promise us that. But he promises you a happy life. Well, anyway, let's go on now. Someone else has a song for us. Yes?
Three.
Number?
Three.
A little ship was on the sea. It's a pretty sight. All right. Has someone started?
A little ship was on the sea.
Asleep. Verse 3.
Master, we perish, Master, save the cry. Then Master heard. He rose, renewed the winds, and waved, and stilled them with a word. He drew the mighty wind away,
Lord Jesus, we thank Thee for this beautiful day that Thou hast given to us. For the last day of the conference, we thank Thee for coming down from heaven's glory to die on that shameful cross of Calvary because of Thy love for us, boys and girls, men and women. And we pray that Thou will bless and help in our Sunday school this morning, that we may receive the Word of God and understand the message from the heart of God, that it may be simple and easy to grasp. And so help us, each one as we have spoken, if we are saved, to consecrate our lives for Thee, so that in eternity there will be something that will remain for Thy glory for all eternity. We ask Thy help. We own our weakness and our dependence upon Thee, in the name and for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Time is going. I was giving out some tracts on the ferry. You know, it's a ferry. How many have gone over the ferry over down here at Dartmouth? I see quite a few. And the Lord helped me to give out some tracts, a lot of tracts on the Halifax side, but there was a big bus there. Boy, it was big. And on the side of it, there was a word, Titanic. How many have heard of the Titanic? Oh, good, I think everyone. It's well publicized, especially now because it's 100 years since the Titanic went down, eh? There was a man in the bus. He had a kilt. I guess he was Scottish. I didn't see anyone on the bus. I guess the tourists were out on the boardwalk there. They may have got some tracts from me. But I offered a tract to this operator, this chauffeur of the bus there. No. I said, "Sir, you are driving the bus with the Titanic, and you're celebrating the centenary of the Titanic going down." Well, he knew that, of course. I said, "There were warnings. You know, there were warnings that there were icebergs in the area on that fateful night of April 12, 1912, there were warnings, but they didn't pay attention. And you know what happened?" And I said, God is giving you a warning, and I'm afraid you're not paying attention either. And there was a disaster. They didn't listen to the warning, and 1,512 people, I think it was, went down to a watery grave in the Atlantic Ocean. Well, we won't talk more about that, but you see, that man wasn't willing to take the warning from the Word of God that there was danger ahead, peril, and that he needed a Savior. Well, let's sing another song. Now, who has another one for us?
John, did he take the tract, may we ask?
No, he didn't take the tract, no. He wouldn't take the tract. Yes?
40.
It's boy, number 40, all right. Number 40. I am the door,
I am the door, I hear any man.
Volunteer here. All right.
46.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that one. You'll have to lead us.
In the house tender of yours, trusting hearts and sweeping floors, washing, ironing, mending too. These are things that I can do.
Enough here for all the boys and girls, I think, and maybe even the young ladies, if they listen well. And we're going to give you this from Malawi. Mr. Roach has told you something about Malawi. If you look on the map, you'll see Malawi is in the south of Africa. It's a landlocked country. That is, it has no outlet to the sea, but it has a very large lake. It is 300 miles long, and it is very deep. And that great man who you have read about, David Livingstone, he did a lot of his exploration in Malawi. It was not called Malawi at that time. It was called Nyasaland. But this, boys and girls, is from Malawi. And I'm going, and it's made in Malawi. And I'm going to give you one of these at the end of the meeting. Okay? But in Malawi, there are also a lot of these things here. There's a lot of them. What is that? This boy?
Lizards?
Yes, or a crocodile. Well, they're very common in Malawi, too. In fact, you have to be very careful swimming in Malawi because these characters will come along and they think nothing of snapping off your leg. And a lot of people lose their limbs in Malawi. You see, you've got a toothpick here. And these crocodiles that are quite common in the rivers of Malawi, I suppose also in Lake Malawi, they're dangerous. And they'll just like that, they snap your leg off or your arm. Think nothing of it. Just like a toothpick. And quite a lot of people, men in Malawi, they lose limbs because of crocodile attacks. This is not from Malawi. This is from South America. But it's a genuine caiman. It's a genuine skin of a crocodile. You can come up and feel it after the meeting. And they are dangerous characters. Well, you know, I'm thinking, boys and girls, this morning of people who are in a pit. I don't know if any of you have fallen into a pit. But it would be an awful experience to be down in a pit where you couldn't get out. I was thinking, you know, Joseph was put in a pit, remember? And he was, it was dark, and he was pulled out of that pit. But he was there because he was faithful to the Lord. Jeremiah, how many have heard about Jeremiah? He was the prophet who was weeping because those people were bad and they wouldn't listen to the word of God. And he was the weeping prophet. When he spoke about judgment, he wept for those people. He loved them. They were going on with bad things. But they put him in a pit. They put him down into a pit. And there was no water in the pit, and it was miry clay and the mud, and poor Jeremiah was going down in the mud, and no food in the pit. But there was a black man, and the black man went to the king and said, "King, they put Jeremiah into the pit, and there's no bread or anything there, and he's going down in the pit." He was in there because he was faithful to the Lord. He was a faithful prophet, but they didn't want to hear him, like many people today. So along came the black man, and he got some old cast clout, some old rags that he picked up underneath the king's palace there. He picked up some old rags, and he looked down into the pit, and Jeremiah was there, and he said, "Here, take those old cast clouts, those old rags," wasn't that kind of that black man, "and put them underneath your armholes here, because there's 30 men, and we're going to bring ropes down and put the ropes underneath, but we don't want to rip your armpits here, so put those cast clouts underneath." And they kindly brought up Jeremiah from the pit. But he still was faithful. He still warned the king of his sin. He didn't say, "Now I'm going to keep quiet because they may put me back in the pit." No, he was faithful. And so he was in the pit because he was faithful to the Lord. Of course, all of you remember Jonah. He was in an awful pit, too. Where was Jonah? This boy. Jonah, you remember? He was a servant of the Lord, but he was not faithful like Joseph or Jeremiah. He was not a faithful servant. He wanted to go his own way. Where did he land up? This boy.
In the fish.
That's right, in the belly of hell, he says. "I'm in the belly of hell." But he did cry unto the Lord in that fish's belly, and the Lord heard him. And you know, he was brought up out of that horrible pit and right onto dry land. Not in the mud, right onto dry land. Well, he was brought up out of a horrible pit. And you know, boys and girls, I was brought up out of a horrible pit also. And I see many people here who were in a horrible pit. And we're going to talk about a man. Oh, here, I brought this along here. What's this?
Coping.
Good. We're talking about Africa here, so I use this to illustrate how they catch monkeys in Africa. You know, they have some peanuts here. So they put the peanuts into the coconut here. And then they put the coconut up onto a tree like this, you see? And the monkeys come along. They eat monkeys in Africa. Oh yeah, that's a delicacy. So they come along, and the monkey smells the peanuts, and he puts his paw into the peanuts, I don't know if this boy here, I can put his hand, come up here and see, but this may not work here. You put your hand in there, Len. Put right down in.
I don't think so.
Can you not get it in? Oh, we have.
I think.
Oh, can you put your hand in there? Grab the peanut. Your hand is too small. All right. So along comes the monkey and he puts his hand in. Yeah, oh boy, I've got the peanuts in my fist here, but the stupid monkey, he will not let go of the peanuts. No, he holds on to those peanuts because he wants them. And along comes a man and he hits him over the head and puts him into a bag and takes him home for supper. And that's the end of the monkey. He won't give up the peanuts. If only he would let them go, he could pull his hand out. No. And you know, there's a lot of people like that, boys and girls. They hold on to their sins. They don't want to give them up. They enjoy doing those bad things. And a man on Spring Garden Road, I was giving out some tracts. Oh, he says, I'm following Satan. Well, I've met people like that before. He didn't want the Word of God. He was following Satan. Well, I didn't have a chance to speak to him. He just gave me back the tract. And on he went. But sometimes I say to those people, boys and girls, if you're going to follow Satan, a lot of young people that say that, then you're going to spend eternity with him in the horrible pit that you will never get out. The worst pit of all. Okay, we must get on with the story that I have in mind here. There was a man, his name was Elisha. Got your Bibles there. You turn to 2 Kings, just briefly tell the story here. 2 Kings chapter 6, maybe someone can help me. Have you all got it? And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. I believe there was a college in Jericho. You know, you boys and girls go to school, and I think there was a college of young men in the city of Jericho. And Elisha was there with them as they were going to school, but there were quite a number of people, and the building was not large enough. It was too small, and they were very crowded. So what happened? Let us see here. Who's going to read us verse 2? Who's going to read us verse 2 of 2 Kings 6? Have you got it there, Len? Stand up. Go ahead.
Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take them every man and beam, and let us take us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye.
All right. They said, we're going to go down to Jordan, which is about 5 miles away from Jericho, and we're going to get some beams, some wood, so that we can build a larger place where we can live and go to college, because we're very crowded where we are. Now, verse 3, one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. That was Elisha, the prophet. Let's see here, we have his name here someplace. Here it is. Elisha the prophet. He was a kind man. He was a loving man that was always ready to help people. He was not a man of judgment like Elijah. Remember, there's two people. Don't get them mixed up. Elijah and Elisha. Elisha was the successor of Elijah. He saw Elijah going up into the heavens in a chariot of fire, and for 7 years he had poured water upon the hands of Elijah, his master, but he saw Elijah going up into heaven, the horses in the chariot of fire, up he went, and he said, "Now I'm here to represent Elijah." And Elisha is a picture to us of the Lord Jesus, and we are left here in the world to represent him. Elisha was representing Elijah, and the people looked and they said, "The spirit of Elijah is upon Elisha. He's got the same spirit." But he was not a man of judgment like Elijah. He called down fire from heaven upon the prophets of Baal. Elisha was not like that. He was always doing good. He was helping people, and there was a poison river, and he made the water sweet, and he raised up the dead, and so on. He was a man of peace, and one that was always willing to help. So they said, "Elisha, go with us. Would you go with us?" Verse 3, "Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants." And he answered, "I will go." Now, verse 4. Who has verse 4 for us? Who has verse 4? Someone else. Verse 4?
6.
Chapter 6, verse 4.
"So he went with him, and then they came to Jordan. They cut down the wood.
Right. Okay. They said to Elisha, "I pray thee, go with thy servants." Well, boys and girls, we stop there for a moment. I wonder, is that what you say in the morning when you start off to school? "Lord, go with thy servant." You want to have the Lord with you during the day? Ask him. He wants to go with you. There's going to be problems at school, at work. Do we say, "Lord, go with us"? We don't want to go alone. "Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants." Isn't that a nice prayer? Before you start off to school in the morning, boys and girls, do you say that? "Lord, go with me today, because I don't know what I'm going to meet at school. There's a lot of sin around, and I need thee, Lord. Go with me. There's difficulties, maybe examinations at school, tests and so on. Lord, go with thy servant." And he went. Well, to finish the story now, there they... What is this here? I'm not a very good artist, but I couldn't find an axe, so I drew one here. That's an axe. How many have seen an axe? Have you? Dad uses the axe sometimes to cut wood. Yeah, I see. Everyone knows what an axe is, I think. And they all had axes, and they were down at Jordan now. The donkeys were tied up, and everyone got their axe or their knives. There were the trees all around, cutting, hacking, sawing. Elisha was moving around among them, encouraging them, and they were shouting, and they were having a good time. But something happened. One man who was cutting down a tree hanging over the water, he was up there cutting the tree. Bang! The head of the axe came off. Look, it flew off. And all he had was the handle. And down the axe head went, down into the water, in the Jordan River. And I've seen the Jordan River. It's muddy. You wouldn't want to swim there. The poor man, he says, "Alas, master," verse 5, "but as one was felling," that means cutting, a beam, that's a big branch of a tree, all right? "The axe head fell into the water, And he cried and said, Alas, Master, for it was borrowed. In other words, he said, Elisha, I'm so sorry. The axe head was not mine. The axe was not mine. He was thinking, he was a very wise young man. He didn't say, well, it doesn't belong to me, so I don't care. But if you borrow something from someone, remember, it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to that person. And make sure that you handle that item just as if it was your own. Just because you got it free and it doesn't belong to you doesn't mean you can play fast and loose and do what you want. He had borrowed the axe and he was concerned. That person, I want to give back that axe to him. But it's gone. I don't think I'll ever find it. Down there, Elisha came along and he said, Where did it fall? And the man said, Right there. The man of God, that's Elisha, verse 6. Look at verse 6. The man of God, where fell it? And he showed him the place. Now, something happened. A miracle. A miracle happened. Here's the axe head. Where was the axe head, Les?
In the river.
Yeah, in the river, that's right. Down in the mud of the River Jordan. And naturally speaking, you'd never find it again. And you know, boys and girls, every one of us are like that axe head. We're in a horrible pit. We are down in the miry clay. Our hearts are hard, just like the axe head. Hard, heavy hearts. And we're down in the mud of the world. And surrounded by sinful things all over. And we love those things and we want to stay down there. But boys and girls, let us remember, the Lord wants to lift you up. That's what I want to talk about as we finish our Sunday school. The Lord wants to lift you out of that miry clay. You say, Mr. Kemp, I'm not in miry clay. I'm sitting in the Sunday school, but our surroundings really are sinful. There's a lot of men and women in Halifax that are in the miry clay. I met them the other day, and so was I. And God can raise you from that miry clay, lift you up. And I often say to the children in Ottawa, when the Lord lifts you up, boys and girls, he doesn't put you on one shoulder like that. Because you might fall off. The Lord holds the whole world on one shoulder. The whole world he holds on one shoulder. The book of Isaiah tells us that. But when he lifts you out of that horrible pit and that miry clay, by his word, and through the work the Lord Jesus did on the cross, he puts you on both shoulders like this. Look. He puts you on both shoulders. And he doesn't let you go until he has you home. Like the little sheep that was lost in the mountains of sin, he was lifted up and put on the shoulders of the Good Shepherd. I hope that every boy and girl is on the shoulders of the Good Shepherd this morning. Now, to finish our story, did this axe head ever come up? Yes, boy. Did it? How in the world did it come up? Because it was very heavy at the bottom of the river. How did it... Did they go down and pick it up or what? Well, let's see what the Word of God says here. Going back to 2 Kings now. And we have... the man of God, verse 6, that's Elisha. He was there. He said, Where did it fall? And the man said, There. He showed him the place. Well, we're fallen too, you know. We're like the axe head, as I said, down in the mud of this world. But it doesn't matter how deep you have gone down. the Lord can raise you up. Even those people that are on drugs and so on in Halifax, our brother Rufus works among them all the time. The Lord can lift them up, and He has done that. He's done that. For me? Yes. For you? Many in the room here have been lifted out of the horrible pit. But let's see what it says here now. Verse 6. Who's going to read verse 6 for us? Or verse 6, yes. Benji, do you want to read it? Verse 6?
Verse
Man.
And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swell.
All right. And, yeah. Time is going here. He took a stick like this. The man of God. He cut down a stick, threw it into the water. And miracle. The axe head, big, heavy iron axe head, came up, up, and began to swim around. And so the man of God said, take it. And he lifted out his hand and he took it. God is interested in you, boys and girls. You may be very small, but the Lord is interested in you, like He was interested in that axe head. And I wonder what this may be a little hard to understand, but we're just going to close with this. What does the wood stand for? That's a hard question. The wood. He threw the wood in. Well, I think the wood speaks of the cross. The Lord Jesus was on a wooden cross, you remember? And there He suffered and died for you, shed His blood. And through the cross, you can be brought up. Not through your good works. You'll stay in the horrible pit for the rest of your life if you try to get out yourself. The Lord, through His work on the cross, like the stick speaks of the cross of Calvary, the Lord can lift you out of the horrible pit and set your feet upon a solid rock and put a song in your heart and establish your goings. Boys and girls, will you come to the Lord and trust Him today? And if you have, God wants to use you. I'm going to finish with a story, a solemn story, and then we're finished. Thank you for your attention. My wife lives in Brazil. Her name is Eleanor, and I'm going down to see her in a couple of weeks down to Brazil. But we were, a few years ago, we were in Brazil, and we were visiting my wife's people in Brazil, down in the deep south, where the cowboys are, the gauchos, you know. Brazil has a lot of gauchos. And a lot of them are in the south of Brazil. So we were on the way back through the big city of Porto Alegre. Porto Alegre is a large city in Brazil. We were sitting in the waiting room, waiting for our flight. There were a lot of people there in the waiting room, all sorts of people. I wasn't feeling very well. Had a cold and kind of a miserable feeling. I won't give out tracts today. I just don't feel like it. I made a mistake. I'll tell you why. The flight was announced. 199 people got on the plane from Porto Alegre to go to Sao Paulo, where my wife has an apartment, where we live. Sao Paulo is a big city of 20 million people. And those people got on, but I'll tell you, they never arrived in Sao Paulo. They never got to their destination. 199 people lost their lives because it was a rainy night. and they were coming into the airport, not far from where Eleanor has her apartment, and they skidded. The pilot did not gauge the conditions properly. He skidded, he didn't give himself enough room, smashed through a barrier across the road into a gasoline depot. The rest you know. It just burst into flames. Those people that were with me in the waiting room, the last opportunity they would have had to receive Christ. I never forgive myself for not giving out tracts there. However, I think I did give some out later, but it was too late for those people. They never arrived at their destination. God gives us a warning to get ready for eternity. We don't know, boys and girls, you're brushing shoulders with people every day. Boys and girls at school, you may not, you know, often when you start in September, there's someone that is not at school. Someone has passed away during the summer. That often happens. A schoolmate. So let us point the boys and girls to the Lord Jesus that they might be saved and brought up out of that horrible pit and ready to meet the Lord at any moment. So, one song to finish, and then I'm going to give out the prizes here. Let's see, we'll have a short one. Number 30. Number 30. Titanic, children and women first, and then if there's any left over for these young men here, they can have one because I don't want to take these back to Ottawa. This is from Malawi. Mr. Roach knows some of the people that do this better than I do, and this is handmade from Malawi, and I think it should work. I tried to put in the refills to all of them. So let us pray. Our loving God and our Father, we do thank Thee for the Sunday school this morning. We thank Thee for the Lord Jesus who loved us, gave Himself for us on that cross to lift us up from the miry clay, to deliver us from our sins for eternity, to give us life, forgiveness, pardon. We pray for every boy and girl and older person that we all might consecrate our lives to Thee. We've been brought up, and now the rest of our time, May it be used to glorify the name of our Lord Jesus, who loved us and did so much for us by dying on Calvary's cross and is coming for us soon. So bless our Sunday school, and also the Sunday school from week to week that the brethren have in this room. And many of these dear boys and girls from Halifax and Dartmouth may be brought to know Christ and be brought up from the horrible pit. We ask it all in the name for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.